Chapter 3, Reading Your Files. You have control over how much of the text in a file the Braille light reads to you at any one time. You can command the Braille light to read by paragraph, by sentences, line by line, word by word, even character by character. Or if you prefer, you can command it to read the entire contents of a file without stopping. The Braille light can spell a word for you. You can specify how much punctuation you want announced as you read. It can even read you the translation of many of the grade 2 Braille contractions. For example, IN for grade 2 contraction, represented by .35. As easy as it is to change how much punctuation is announced and to check on the spelling of a word with speech, you can always avoid dealing with it altogether by checking the Braille display. That's one great advantage of having the Braille display available. Even if you had the Braille display turned off, at the time you read something you want to check, you can turn it on and go over that text by using the advance bar to bring up the text in question onto the display, forward by tapping the right end of the advance bar, or backward by tapping its left end. Point 1, the cursor. If you've ever worked with a Perkins Brailler or a Slayton Stylus, you are already familiar with the concept of a cursor, although you may not have ever called it that. In computer jargon, the cursor, spelled C-U-R-S-O-R, used for reading and writing, refers to the electronic equivalent of your stylus or the Braille writer's punching mechanism. The cursor is very important because it marks the place where this electronic stylus is resting. You can feel it on the Braille display, more on this in a minute, but you can also move it via command, and you can find out where it is in your file and even what character is under it with speech, if you prefer. When we talk about moving through a file to read by sentence, paragraph, or whatever, it means that we're moving the cursor to a particular place in that file and commanding the Braille light to read from that location. Naturally, you can move the cursor forward and backward through a file. Point 3.3.1, displaying the cursor. On the Braille display, the cursor looks very much like the Braille dash or hyphen .36. Except that it is displayed on the Braille light in the 7th and 8th dot positions, directly underneath dots 3 and 6. Remember from section 1 that we mentioned in passing how the 8th dot display capability can be important. Here's the first example of that. At first glance, when you see a Braille character with a cursor under it, it may look rather strange, and the character may seem confusing. For example, think of the Braille letter X with dots 7 and 8 visible directly under it. At first, if you don't realize that you're reading 8-dot Braille, you could mistake this for the Braille letter C with the Braille letter G under it. However, as you continue to use the Braille light and look at where your cursor is, this initial ambiguity disappears quickly. How do we get to see this cursor? Recall from section 1.5.2 that we talked about the status menu from where you can change settings for a wide variety of things. One of the settings you can alter is whether the Braille display shows you the cursor all the time. From the factory, we have set the unit not to constantly display the cursor, as this could be confusing to first-time users of an 8-dot Braille display. As we said earlier in section 1.5.2, you enter the status menu with an ST sign cord, .34 cord. There are many settings available in the menu and several ways to navigate through the settings as we discussed. But from now on, though, we'll just show you how to jump straight to the one we want to change, in this case, cursor always visible. When you first enter the status menu, the braille light says and displays the name of whatever setting was last changed and the status of that setting. In most cases, settings are either on or off. If this is your first time opening the status menu, you should hear status menu, interactive on. The display should show interactive on. If you tap the left end of the advanced bar, you'll see status menu. You could move the advanced bar to view the numerous settings in this menu, as we did in section 1.5.2. But now, we'll take a shortcut to the cursor always visible setting. Press a V chord, and you'll hear and see cursor always visible off. This tells us that the setting is presently set to display the cursor only when you are writing in your file, but not when you're just reading. The only time the cursor is displayed when you're just reading is when you're checking something out, a character at a time, with .3 or .6 chords. Write the letter Y to change the setting to on, or in other words, to display the cursor at all times. Now you'll hear and see cursor always visible on. Press an E chord to enter the status menu. Also, as you'll recall from the concept of toggling from section 2.5, you can toggle whether the cursor is always visible by tapping the advance bar together with the letter V. Now, take a look at your braille display. Notice that the cursor, .78, is visible at the left end of the display. Assuming that you haven't done anything yet with the braille light, except turn it on for the first time, you should see something like Braille Light 2000 Help, with the cursor under the B of Braille. Tap the right end of the advance bar, and you should see File Writing, with the cursor still at the left end of the display, but now under the F of File. You could continue tapping the advance bar and reading this help file, and the cursor will remain at the left end of the display throughout. Since you are moving the display with the advance bar, the display changes by groups of up to 18 characters at a time, so the cursor always stays on the first character shown in the next group of characters you bring up on a braille display, unless you specifically move it to a different character. If you want to see the cursor move to a character or to a word to the right of the first character shown on the braille display, you'll need to use one of the commands that lets you move the cursor, and we'll show you how to do that in the next section. Moving the speech cursor is just like moving the braille cursor. The commands are identical, as you'll see. If you want to turn off the braille cursor for now, however, re-enter the status menu with an ST sign chord, .34 chord, and write a letter N. By the way, did you notice how the braille light remembered that the last setting you changed in the status menu was the cursor always visible setting? After you write the letter N, you should see and hear cursor always visible off. Remember to exit the status menu with an E chord. You should be right where you left off, except that the cursor, .78, is no longer visible on the braille display. The braille cursor will become crucial when we talk about writing in your files later in Chapter 4. For now, let's continue learning how to move around and read in the file with speech. The same commands that work for speech work for the braille display, as you'll see. Navigating through a file. Moving through your files on the braille light is much faster than turning braille pages. You can move instantly to the top or bottom, beginning or end, of your file, search for a particular word, or move by a specific number of lines, characters, or words. When we talk about moving, we mean just that, moving the cursor from one location to another. That's like lifting a pencil off of one place on a piece of paper and then placing it somewhere else. Perhaps on the same page, perhaps on another. Let's practice moving around the help file that is open automatically the first time you turn on your Braille light. To move to the top or beginning of the file, press an L cord. The Braille light says top of file and displays the first group of up to 18 characters of text. To move to the bottom or end of the file, press A.456 cord. The Braille light says end of file and displays the last group of up to 18 characters of the file. Once again, notice that it does not read any text. Simply tells you where your cursor is in the file. Knowing where a cursor is in the file becomes crucial, as you'll see in writing. The Braille light remembers where you left off in each file, even after you turn it off and turn it on again. Whenever you reopen the file, your cursor will be wherever you last used it in that file. Move. 3.2.1. Moving by blocks of text. Now, suppose you know to what particular line, character, word, Braille page, or even print page you want to move in your file. Earlier revisions of the Braille light only let you move a specified number of lines backward or forward in your document, but now there is much more flexibility. When you press the number sign cord, .3456 cord, the Braille light says move, and places you in a menu with several options. Press a C cord to hear the first option, Braille page. Pressing the space bar takes you through the rest of the choices, character, line, mark, print page, and word. You can jump quickly to your choice simply by writing its first letter, for instance, W for word, or L for line. Then write the number you want, using dropped numbers, as always, when responding to a Braille light command, and finally press an E chord. The Braille light says, please wait, and moves you to the place you specified, and reads to the end of that line. It's important to note that if you ask the Braille light to move to, say, line 5, you'll be on line 5 of your file, not 5 lines from your starting point. Likewise, if you command it to take you to print page 6 with number sign cord P6 E cord, the Braille light will take you to print page 6 of your document, not 6 print pages from your starting point. E. 3.2.2. Moving by relative blocks of text. On the other hand, if you do want to move by a certain amount relative to where you are, there is a way to do this with the number sign cord command as well. Press the number sign cord .3456 cord, but this time write L plus 3, remembering to use the computer Braille .346 for the plus sign and the dropped number 3. Then press an E chord. Now the Braille light will move you 3 lines forward from your starting location and speak until the end of the line. But remember, if you press number sign cord and simply write a number, like 10, for example, without indicating the letter designation of one of the choices and without a plus or a minus, the Braille light assumes you want to move by lines and places you on line 10 of your file. Let's take a couple of examples using the currently open help file. Get to the top of the file with an L cord, so we're all starting from the same place. Now, let's tell the Braille light to move us to the 10th line of this file. Press number sign cord. L, 10, E chord. You should hear, please wait, followed by a click or two, and then carriage return. 4-6 chord, new line, command. Now, suppose we want to jump directly to print page 3 of this file. Press number sign chord, P3E chord. You should hear, please wait, followed shortly by character. It just so happens that the first line of print page 3 only contains the word character and the real light Reggie till the end of that line. But notice that the display shows you character stop. This is because it shows you the end of the line that contains the word character and the beginning of the line that contains the word stop. Well, now that we're on print page 3, we just want to go back about 4 lines, say, and so we can press number sign chord L minus 4, E chord. We're here, please wait, followed shortly by macros. On the Braille display, you'll see macros, open parentheses, G, can. This is because, of course, the display shows you up to 18 characters worth of material at a time. The sheet only says macros because the Braille light only speaks to the end of the line. When you use the move command to locate a section in your file. Just for clarity, let's take one more example. Press a number sign chord, 3, E chord. This time you'll hear, please wait, a click or two, and then writing function. Why? Well, remember that when you just respond to the move command with a number, the Braille light takes you to that line relative to the beginning of the document. If you want to go back or forward a number of chunks of text from your starting point, you must include a plus or a minus after the letter designation, and then the number of chunks you want to move. Move. 3.2.3, the text counter. One very handy new feature related to the number sign chord command is that it lets you find out how many characters, lines, and words you have in your file. This is great when your professor asks for a term paper of no more than, say, 500 words. Using our help file again as an example, press the number sign chord and this time write a W followed by a 0. The Braille light should say something like, please wait, and after a few clicks, 4121. If this were our school assignment, we'd have to do some serious editing to get down to that 500-word limit. But luckily, this is the Braille Light's help file, and actually, it's a very useful file to have around, even if it has a lot of words in it. All right, enough with the suspense. Let's look in detail at how to read what's in the help file. Point 2. Reading blocks of text. The commands for reading with the voice on the Braille light are very easy to remember because they revolve around the position of the space bar on the physical unit. To read the line, word, or character where your cursor is currently resting, press a C chord for current line, press a dot. T5 chord for current words, and press a dot 3-6 chord for current character. To move the cursor and read forward or backward by a line, word, or character, press a dot 4 chord for next line and a dot 1 chord for previous line. Press a dot 5 chord for next word and a dot 2 chord for previous word. And press a dot 6 chord for next character and a dot 2 chord for previous character. Notice how moving the cursor forward involves chords with the keys to the right of the spacebar, and moving the cursor backward involves chords with the keys to the left of the spacebar. Another way to think of it is to say that chords involving dots closest to the spacebar are for lines. Chords using the middle dots are for words, and chords using the dots furthest from the spacebar are for single characters. If you want to move to the next or previous paragraph from where you are in your file, press a dot 5-6 chord for the next paragraph and a dot 3-3 chord for the previous one. The Braille light moves the cursor to the next or previous paragraph and reads you the first line of that paragraph. Again, notice that forward cursor movement involves the cord to the right of the spacebar, and backward cursor movement involves the cord to the left of the spacebar. If you want the Braille light to read you the entire contents of a file, or if you want to read from where you are in the file all the way to the end of the file, press on ER sign cord dot 12456 cord. The Braille light starts reading from your current cursor location, whether at the beginning of the file or not, and continues nonstop to the end of the file. Pressing a Z cord automatically halts the voice. If you're reading nonstop through a file and decide you want to stop at some particular word, pressing an E cord shuts up the voice, and pressing a 2-5 cord stops the voice and reads you the word where the cursor is now resting. While you can't control the exact word on which the voice stops, you can control how close it stops to the word where the cursor is resting. The status menu settings Speak Words in Say All mode can make a difference. If the setting is turned off, speech is fairly smooth. Pressing an E cord to halt speech places you at the beginning of a line of text, not necessarily anywhere near the last word you heard. If the setting is turned on, speech is somewhat choppy, but pressing an E cord to halt speech places you pretty close to the last word you heard, if not right on it, depending on how fast a speech rate you have set. The faster your speech rate is set, the harder it is to halt it just exactly where you want, but you can get quite close. Enter the status menu with an ST sign cord dot C4 cord. The bell light says status menu followed by the setting you last selected. Jump to the Speak Words in Say All mode setting by pressing the right parenthesis dot C3456. In computer Braille code. From the factory, this parameter is set to off. Write a letter Y to turn it on, and exit the status menu with an E cord. Then go ahead and read from wherever you are in the currently open file with an ER sign cord. Notice that the speech is somewhat jerky as you listen. Now press a .25 cord to stop the voice and check where it stopped. It should be either right on or very close to the last word you heard. You can turn the feature off again to regain a smoother speech quality by re-entering your status menu and writing a letter N in response to the prompt for the Speak Words in Say All mode. Then exit with an E cord. This is an excellent time to talk about scrolling options on the Braille display. Point 3.1, scrolling the Braille display. Wouldn't it be nice if the Braille display could move by itself as you read a long file? That's what scrolling does. You know how to turn off the voice from our discussion in section 2.5. When you turn the voice off and issue an ER sign cord to read from the cursor to the end of the currently open file, the display starts scrolling. By scrolling, we mean that the display moves for you every couple of seconds, so that you don't have to keep tapping the advance bar. This can be great if you're reading a very long file. Of course, you can stop the display at any time by pressing any cord, and you can change the rate at which the display scrolls. Press .5 to speed up scrolling, .2 to slow it down. If you happen to tap the advance bar or press another key accidentally, you'll see invalid input. Tapping the advance bar again returns you to where you had stopped scrolling in the file. To continue scrolling, simply press ER sign cord again. You might run into a situation where you're scrolling along a lengthy file and want to skip ahead a bit. You can always stop scrolling altogether by pressing some cord, then search for the text you want to read, and then resume scrolling with another ER sign cord. But you could also just let the display keep scrolling automatically and press the space bar repeatedly to jump the display to the next display's worth of characters. In other words, if you don't want to speed up the scrolling rate, but you find yourself on text you don't need to read, just press the space bar a few times to move the display along a bit faster, temporarily. Then, when you see text you do want to read, stop pressing the space bar to allow scrolling to continue by itself. As with virtually all the settings on the Braille light, the unit remembers how you last set scrolling and resumes scrolling at that pace the next time you issue the command that starts the display scrolling. But if you turn off the Braille light, the next time you turn on the unit and activate scrolling, the scrolling speed is back at the default speed set from the factory. Note that scrolling works only if the voice is turned off. If the voice is turned on, issuing an ER sign cord immediately causes the voice to begin reading from your cursor location to the end of the file. The Braille display stays put. If you halt the voice by pressing any key, the display jumps to some point close to the last word you heard spoken. Whether speech is on or not, you can also scroll the Braille display manually, one character at a time. In other words, if you want the display to shift by a single character rather than by an entire display's worth of characters at a time, hold the advance bar. Then press dot shift repeatedly to move the display right by one character at a time, or dot three repeatedly to move it left by one character at a time. It's important to not release the advance bar as you press dot six and or dot three. Otherwise, if you treat this command like a chord, where you simply press keys simultaneously and release them all at once, the display won't scroll, as we suggest. This type of scrolling by a single character at a time is useful mostly in cases where you have a string of characters without spaces longer than 18 characters, the limit of the display. Computer programming codes, some spreadsheet formulas and mathematical expressions, for example, can create lengthy strings of characters like this. So this method of reading the display may appear tedious. If meticulous attention to every character in a string is crucial, this method is probably the best. Defining blocks of text. This is as good a time as any to talk about the Braille light's definition of line and sentence. The Braille light defines a line and paragraph based on the location of carriage returns or carriage return line feed pairs. On a physical piece of paper, a carriage return moves you to the beginning of a line, and a line feed moves you down a line. You don't need line feeds in a Braille light document. You'll see why later. The Braille light sees all text between one carriage return and the next as a single line of text. It defines a paragraph to be all text between a set of two or more carriage returns and the next. It defines a sentence to be all text between one period, question mark, or exclamation point, and the next instance of one of these punctuation marks. By the way, the Braille light may issue a clink sound when you run across a set of two or more carriage returns. If you don't want to hear this, from anywhere in your currently open file, press an AND sign cord, dot 12246 cord. The Braille light says, skip blank lines, enter wire in. Letter Y. From now on, you won't hear any distinguishing sound to tell you that you've passed over extra carriage returns. You can also change this setting from within the status menu with the same AND sign command. See Appendix B. In addition to reading by lines or sentences, you can read by blocks of text from 20 to 80 characters in length, referred to as windows. This is most useful when interacting with a computer or modem. See Chapter 15. You can choose among these three reading modes, windows, lines, or sentences. To switch among modes, press a W cord from anywhere in your currently open file. The bell light says, seek windows, lines, or sentences. Whichever option you choose, a W, L, or F, the bell light says, OK. From then on, it will read the text in the mode you selected. Notice that you don't have to enter an E chord to execute the command to switch among reading modes. This is one case where you don't need it. The bell light simply places you in your selected mode when you respond to the prompt. You can cycle among the three modes in a flash as you read. And the bell light even remembers the mode you selected last the next time you turn it on. As with reading lines, you move forward and backward a window or sentence at a time by pressing a dot 4 chord to move forward and a dot 1 chord to move backward. And of course, to read a current window or sentence, simply press a C chord. Note, if you select the window option, you must also select the length of the window, preset to 80 from the factory. You can see its current setting by entering the status menu with an S2 sign chord. The bell light says status menu and something like interactive on. Don't worry about that prompt right now. Just remember that whenever you enter the status menu, besides the prompt confirming that you've entered it, you'll hear a prompt for the status of whatever setting you last checked. For now, just write a W to hear window length 80. You may change the setting at this time to any number between 18 and 80, and press an E chord. The bell light confirms your change by repeating it to you. Press another E chord to exit the status menu. Or you can simply change the window length parameter from the parameters menu by pressing a T chord. At the enter parameter prompt, write a W to hear window length 80. The number depends on how the parameter was set last. Change it to the number between 18 and 80 and press an E chord. The bell light says OK to confirm. Now, let's turn to another reading capability of the bell light. Having the voice spell out words. What if you have the Braille display turned off and need a word spelled? Move your cursor to the word by pressing dot 2 chords to go backward or dot 5 chords to go forward until the cursor is resting on the word you want spelled. Press the chord for current word, dot 2-5 chords, twice to have the word spelled. In fact, you can continue having every word spelled as you move back and forth with dot 2 chords and dot 5 chords. Exit this spelling mode with any other chord. What if you have the Braille display turned off and need to identify a letter or Braille character that is unclear? Letters like B, D, G, T, T, V, and Z may sound alike when pronounced by a speech synthesizer. Press the dot's 3-6 chord, the command to read the current character, twice, to hear clarification of the letter. The Braille light first pronounces the letter and then gives you a word that starts with that letter for clarity. So, for example, say you're on the letter C. Press dot 3-6 chord twice. The first time you hear C, the second time you hear Charlie. Pressing dot 3 or dot 6 chords now speaks each letter as a clarifying word, like Bravo for B or Delta for D. Exit this mode with any chord other than another dot 3-6 chord. What's the ASCII value of the character under the cursor? In earlier versions of the Braille light, three presses of dot 3-6 chord announced the ASCII value of the character under the cursor. But if you're not a techie, this can be confusing. So the announcement of ASCII values is now optional. The default value of this setting is off, since most people couldn't care less that the capital A under the cursor is ASCII value 65, or whatever. For those of you who do care about such things, we have a setting you can turn on from the status menu. Here's how it works. To check the current status of the Show ASCII Values setting, enter the status menu using ASCII sign chord dot C4 chord and jump directly to the setting by pressing the dot C6 chord. You should hear Show ASCII Values off. Turn the setting on by writing a Y and exit the status menu with an E chord. From now on, when you press dot C6 chord 3 times in a row, the braille light says the ASCII value of the character under the cursor, for example 65 for the uppercase A, or 97 for the lowercase A. Again, ASCII values are most meaningful to programmers, so don't worry if you don't understand the term or the two examples we provide. If you're interested, though, a complete listing of ASCII values is in Appendix D, along with the computer braille code. Once you've turned Show ASCII Values mode on from the status menu, press dot 36 chord 3 times to enter the ASCII Values mode, and go along pressing dot 3 and dot 6 chords to continue to hear each character's ASCII value. Exit the mode by pressing some other chord. When you no longer desire to have it active, turn off the Show ASCII Values setting in the status menu and return to friendly-sounding regular letters, punctuation, and such. In other words, when Show ASCII Values is turned off, pressing dot 36 chord twice reads you each letter phonetically, but a third press of dot 36 chord simply returns you to hearing letters and characters again and not their ASCII values. Are you confused yet? Hope not. Take a few moments to try out reading using the currently open help file. Point 4, some tips on reading. Here are a few things to keep in mind as you read your files. Depending on certain settings, your reading can be a breeze or a challenge. So, read on. Point 4.1, the automatic Braille translator. Remember that we said we'd come back to the issue of Braille translation. This feature affects the way the braille light speaks, what it thinks it sees in your file, but it has no effect whatsoever on what you see in the braille display. Nevertheless, let's see what happens to the braille light's voice if braille translation is set incorrectly in a file. Get to the top of the help file with an L chord. Now press a C chord to read the current line. The braille light says, Braille Light 2000 help file. Press T dot 4 chords to hear writing functions, and then backspace B chord. Now, let's play a trick on the braille light. Enter the parameters menu by pressing the T chord. The braille light says, enter parameter. Write the letter T for translation. The braille light says, braille translator, enter YAN. Write a Y to turn on braille translation. The braille light remembers where you were in your file and returns you there after you're finished with the menu. So let's see what happens when we try to read the current lines. Press a C chord. You should hear something like backspace but chord. What happened? Well, the braille translator sees the colon after the backspace and thinks it's a WH sign and sees the B and translates it into the word but. That's it. However, read the braille display, and the braille should look exactly the same as it did before we played this trick on the voice. You still have the text in computer braille. So the point is that if you ever get into a file that sounds like gibberish, chances are you have the braille translation turned to the mode opposite what it should be for that file. Let's get out of this quick. Press a T chord, again, to get back into the parameters menu, at the interparameter prompt, write the letter P. At the Braille translator interwire in prompt, write an M. Now press the C chord again. The Braille light should read accurately again, with Braille translation off. The Braille light remembers whether you want Braille translation on or off for each of your files. When you go through the list of existing files, if Braille translation is on for a file, the Braille light reminds you by saying Braille file after telling you its name. This issue of Braille translation will come up again when we look at transmitting files from the Braille light to a computer or vice versa, and it is a definite consideration when sending a Braille light file directly to a printer. So it's worth taking a minute to practice moving back and forth between Braille translation modes here in a help file. It's safe. You can't damage this file even if you try to write in it. It is protected from over-anxious beginners. When we get into writing, you'll see how you can protect files yourself. Point 4.2, special types of characters. The Braille light can identify uppercase characters and control characters to you as you read with the Braille light's voice to your file. Control characters are used largely for formatting purposes to instruct a printer where to place your text. Common examples include carriage returns, line feeds, form feeds, and tabs. We'll show you how to write them later. As you're reading along with the Braille light's voice in the help file, practicing moving from line to line, paragraph to paragraph, and so on, notice that the Braille light uses the normal inflections of speech, pausing at commas, periods, and question marks. If you move your cursor forward or backward a character at a time, though, the Braille light reads an uppercase character in a significantly higher than normal pitch. If it sees a control character, it reads it to you as well. Displaying special characters. We should stop here for a minute and look at how the Braille display handles character turns and line feeds. What if you have speech turned off and want to know exactly where these markers occur in your file? Whether or not you have the voice turned off, there are times when it's useful to have the carriage returns displayed, just as there are times when it's useful to hear the higher-than-normally-pitched voice for an uppercase character, and there are times when it's important to know how many spaces there are between one word and another, for example, when text is tabbed or indented. There are a few things you can do to change how Braille is displayed. Just to refresh your memory of our earlier discussion, character returns, control M characters, simply return you to the left margin, and line feeds, control J characters, actually move you down the page. Form feeds, control L characters, place you at the beginning of the next physical page, and in print, many times there are whole lines of asterisks or equal signs, dashes or other fancy characters to visually block off one set of text from another for emphasis. So what? All of this seems rather meaningless right now because we're dealing with a simple 18-cell Braille display. But ultimately, the text you're reading and the text you'll write later can be printed or embossed in Braille. To be able to control where you place that text on a page, or how someone else laid it out, may be crucial to creating or understanding how a document is presented. One way to control the Braille display is to have it show text only up to the point where a carriage return or carriage return line feed pair occurs. So, for example, even if there is only one small word, like hello, that is followed by a carriage return, when you have the display set this way, that's all you'll see on the display. Enter the status menu with the usual ST sign chord, dot, 3-4 chord, and jump through the setting by pressing an R chord. The factory setting is off, so the Braille light should say End Display on Carriage Return Off. On the display, you should see End Display On. Tap the advance bar to see Carriage Return, and one last time to see Off. Write a letter Y to turn on the feature, then enter the status menu with any chord. From now on, as you read in a currently open file, the help file for practice, you should notice that the display of text ends whenever the Braille light sees a carriage return. By the way, to toggle this setting, tap the advance bar together with the letter R. The advantage of the status menu method, however, is that you're told the status of the setting and are given a chance to change it. Whereas, you'll recall from our discussion in Chapter 2, toggling a setting automatically reverses how it is presently set. But how can you be absolutely sure the display of text is stopping because of a carriage return? It might be stopping just because there are a bunch of spaces or other characters, maybe a long word it can't fit on the 18 cells available, and so on. A very effective way to see where there are control characters and uppercase letters involves bringing into view the 7th and 8th dots of the Braille display. Simply turn on the 8-dot mode of the Braille display, enter the status menu with an SD sign chord, and jump to the settings by writing an 8 chord, dot 236 chord. Remember that all commands must be entered in computer Braille. The Braille light says, 8-dot mode off. Write the letter Y to turn it on and enter the status menu with an E chord. You can toggle the setting by tapping the advance bar together with the dropped 8.236. From now on, as you read through the help file, notice that there are frequent instances where .7 appears under a character. This tells you that the character is capitalized. Also, notice that occasionally .8 appears under a character. In fact, sometimes .8 appears under a string of characters. In that case, the characters may be all underlined or some other fancy thing. But if an isolated character appears with a .8 under it, chances are that you're at a carriage return line feed pair within the file. Reading 8-dot Braille can take some getting used to, and we suggest you keep this setting off unless you really need to check something out in particular. Remember, you can turn it off quickly enough by tapping the advance bar together with the dropped 8. The Braille light says 8-dot mode off. This should return you to the 6-dot Braille you're used to reading. Yet another way to see control characters, this time specifically what they are as well as where they are, is to turn on the setting that makes them visible on the Braille display. Enter the status menu with an ST sign chord and jump to the setting by pressing an X chord. The Braille light says, Control Chars Off. Later, we'll talk in detail about control characters, but the most common ones are carriage returns, line feeds, and form feeds. Write a letter Y to turn on this feature. Then exit the status menu with an E chord. You can toggle this setting by tapping the advance bar together with the Braille letter C. You'll see strange-looking Braille if you've never worked with 8-dot Braille, and it'll take a little practice to get used to it. But essentially what happens in this mode is that you see all your text, as always, except that when the Braille light encounters a carriage return, it adds the letter M with a .8 underneath it to indicate Control M for carriage return. Likewise, when it encounters a line feed, the Braille light displays the letter J with .8 underneath it, a Control J, which is a line feed control character. Remember, you can turn the setting off again at any time by simply tapping the advance bar together with the letter C. You'll then be back to seeing more normal-looking Braille. Finally, you can set the Braille display to show exactly what the file contains, all spaces, multiple occurrences of fancy border characters like asterisks, all control characters, and so on. Enter the status menu with an ST sign cord and jump to the setting by pressing an FOR sign cord. Dot 123456 cord. The braille light says, display all off. Write a letter Y to turn on the feature. Then enter the status menu with an E cord. Now, as you read through the help file, you should see a more accurate display of what the file actually contains. For example, if the only active setting for controlling the display's appearance is the display all setting, reading from the beginning of the file, you'll see Braille Light 2000 help file. Writing functions. What appears to be two spaces between file and writing are actually control characters. Turn on the setting to see control characters by tapping the advance bar together with the letter C. Now read the same text in the help file, and you'll see that between file and writing, there are two character chains. Ends with dot H underneath them. Of course, once you have all these various settings for 8-dot Braille, control characters displayed, and display off turned on, get said to read slowly. The Braille will look very peculiar. But at least you'll know exactly what you have. As we said earlier, the advantage of turning on the settings we've been playing with in this section may escape you right now, but as we get into writing text in your files and formatting them for printing or embossing in Braille, knowing exactly where one line ends and the next begins, how many spaces there are for centered text, and so on, may be very important. We suggest you keep these settings off most of the time to make the best use of the limited space on the display. Unless you're checking format for printing or for clarifying the layout of text, it's not necessary to activate them. Now, take a few minutes to practice reading with the settings we've been discussing turned on before you move on to learning about how to find text in your files. Point 5, searching for text in a file. The Braille light can look for a word faster than you could if you had a printout of the file. Since you can look for text going forward or backward in your file, it's probably a good idea to know where your cursor is located when you're starting your search. Point 5.1, the location of the cursor. To find out where the cursor is currently resting, press a WH sign cord dot 156 cord from anywhere within your file. The Braille light says something like, column 5, cursor at 119. This means that the cursor is resting on the 6th place on a line and that you are 119 characters into the file. If the cursor happens to be resting on a carriage return, you'll hear column 0 instead of any other number. Now, let's search for text. 3.5.2, finding text. You can search for text forward or backward through your currently open file. When you issue the find command, you enter a search buffer, a scratch pad of sorts, until you press an E chord. If you change your mind and decide not to search for this particular text after all, you can cancel the search with a Z chord. While in the scratch pad, you can write text, also referred to as a search string, of up to 63 characters in length. You can use the backspace B chord to erase a character, just as you can when you're writing. And you can press a C chord to see what you've written so far. Let's see how it works. Press an F chord from anywhere within your file. The Braille light says, enter text to find. Write a search string, the word speech, for example. The search string you write appears on the Braille display as you write it. Then press an E chord to execute the command. If the text is in your file, the Braille light moves the cursor to its beginning and shows whatever text can fit on the Braille display at one time. If it does not find the text, you hear not found, and the cursor remains where you started the search. If you want to reverse the search, start with an F chord, but when you hear enter text to find, write the text followed by a pH sign chord, .1456 chord. If the text is found, the Braille light moves the cursor to its beginning and reads forward to the next character turn. If it does not find it, you hear not found. Although the search string does not reappear on the Braille display, the Braille light remembers the text you last asked it to find, even from file to file. And this can be a very handy feature when you're looking for the same text in a number of different files. Of course, turning off the Braille light makes it forget what text you last asked it to find. Let's practice using the Braille light help file as an example. Press an L chord to move to the top of the help file. The Braille light says top of file. Press a WH sign chord to see where we are in the file. Just to make sure that we are where we think we are. The Braille light says column 0, cursor at 1. Good. That means that we are indeed at the very first character location in the file. Now, let's look for a word. Press an F chord. The Braille light says, enter text to find. Let's look for the word read. Write the word read, making sure to spell out each Braille letter. Do not use third to Braille. Remember, the help file is not a Braille file. It comes from the factory written as a print file in uncontracted Braille. Now press an E chord to execute the find command. The Braille light says, reading function. Notice that it found a variation of the word we were looking for, reading. The Braille light looks for the combination of characters we requested, but it finds the first text it encounters that may include that combination of characters we asked it to find. If you had really wanted to find read and only that specific word, you should have searched for the string space, R-E-A-D, space. For now, let's just use this example to find out whether there are more instances of the word read in this help file. Press another F chord again. Even though the Braille light says enter text to find again, and even though the Braille display does not show it, the Braille light still remembers that we last looked for the word read. So let's just press an E chord. The Braille light says read word in. We could go along in this fashion, finding any occurrence of the word read, or any variation of that word in the file, all without ever rewriting the word read at the prompt. In fact, even if we switched files, we could still look for the same word. Where are we in the file at this point? Assuming we stopped searching for read when the Braille light found read word in, press a WH sign chord. The Braille light says something like column 4, cursor at 10,838, indicating that the cursor is at the fourth place on a line and that we are almost 11,000 characters into the help file. Now, let's press an F chord. At the prompt, press a pH sign chord, .1456 chord. You should be back at reading functions. Press F chord, pH sign chord again, and you should hear the Braille light say not found. All this means is that it did not find any instance of the word read searching backward through the file. That's fine. We knew that it wouldn't find one. But see how important it can be to know where the cursor is. Try finding a word or phrase on your own. Move to different places in the help file as you search. Once comfortable with the process, you'll find that you can flip through a file and find a phone number faster than you could thumb through a Rolodex. Case-sensitive searches for text. The Braille light disregards case when searching for text, unless you select it to be case-sensitive. To select case sensitivity in searching for text, before you issue the find command, press a PAT sign chord, .3346 chord. The bell light prompts you with distinguished case during find. Enter wire N. Letter Y if you do want searches to be case sensitive. Letter N if you don't. Most of the time, you won't want case sensitivity turned on for a search. Either way, the braille light responds OK. From that point on, until you change it, the braille light performs searches according to your selection. Here's an example using our old friend, the help file. Go to the top of the file with an L cord. Now press the TAT sign cord. The braille light says, distinguish case during find. Enter wire N. Write a letter Y and the braille light says OK. Now press an F cord and, at the prompt, enter text to find, write Blavie, B-L-A-V-I-E, followed by an E chord. The braille light responds, not found. Either the word is not in the file or Blavie is not in lowercase. Maybe it's in capital letters. To make the braille light let you write uppercase letters, press a U chord. The braille light says uppercase. Press another U chord to lock the braille light into uppercase mode. The braille light now says uppercase lock. This is like the shift lock on a typewriter or the caps lock on a computer. Every letter you write on the braille light is now interpreted as an uppercase character. Press an F chord. Now answer the prompt, enter text to find, by writing Blazy. Again, remembering that every character you're writing is in uppercase. The braille light comes back with, not found. What's wrong now? It looks like Blazy is not in the file, either. Spelled in all capital letters. It must be that the word is spelled with only the first letter in uppercase. Let's unlock our uppercase and try again. To unlock uppercase, press a Q chord. The braille light says, uppercase unlocked. Okay. Now press the F chord and at the enter text to find prompt, press a U chord, then write Blazy. Remember, since you only pressed the U chord once, only the first letter you wrote, the B, is in uppercase. The L-A-Z-I-E is in lowercase. Now press an E chord to see if this time the braille light can find this elusive word. Yes, the braille light now says Blazy Engineering. Well, that took some effort, didn't it? See why it's probably better to have case sensitivity off? Let's turn it off right now, shall we? Press a TAT sign chord. At the distinguished case during find, enter wire N prompt. Write an emphatic letter N. The braille light says OK. From now on, it should be easy again to find text without worrying about its case. The click tip. When you have large files, you'll probably hear a ticking sound as the braille light is searching for text. The larger the file, the greater the distance the braille light may have to travel looking for your text, and the greater the number of clicks you will hear. But not to worry, just be patient and it will find your text, if it is there to be found. Careful, the search. Even after you've pressed an E chord that starts a search, you can cancel it with a Z chord. This can be handy with a long search in a large file. Well now, you're just about ready to start writing your files.